22 years, Brother Dawson has pastored the Victory Baptist Church in Carterville, Illinois, down in southern Illinois. You head down 57 all the way to the Marion exit and get off there and go west a little ways, and you come into Carterville, and they've reached some folks through the years out of the Southern Illinois University there at Carbondale, and just been a faithful man. The man that we supported starting the church in Metropolis, Dorothy, you and Jack have visited Brother Brian Braden. As you go down there, Brother Braden is out of Brother Dawson's church there in Carterville, Illinois, and just got a fine ministry. A couple of ladies out of the church married to missionaries on the foreign field, his own boys, some of them involved in the full-time work. And he and I met in the early 90s, 92, 93, down at Windsor Hills at a youth conference. And boy, it's been a lasting friendship ever since. And I'm just thrilled he's here. And I don't know why I've waited so long to have him here to speak. I think he spoke at a golf outing one time. And I don't know why I've waited so long to have him here, because I am excited for you folks to get to hear him tonight. He's a great, great man, number one. Just great attitude, good spirit, all the time up, and I just appreciate that about him. You'll enjoy it. Kelly's going to come sing for us. And where are you at, Kelly? Right here. You come sing for us, and then as soon as she's done, you give your attention up here to Brother Rick Dawson. Good to have him tonight. All right. Travis and Terry Gray's pastor for these years now since they've lived down there. All right, Kelly, God bless you.
It's an honor for me to be here tonight, and I appreciate so much not only this church, but especially your pastor. I know you already know this, but you have one of the best pastors in America, and you need to appreciate that, because if you don't, you might end up with someone like me. It's not a pretty picture, amen? But really, Brother Angel is a great blessing to those outside of this church all across our country. And I know that it's difficult for him, being a pastor of a growing church, to try to balance all of the work here and then also speak out as much as he does. And I'll be honest with you, I really believe that Brother Angel is one of the best spokespersons for fundamentalism that we have in our nation today. In all our nation, I really believe that, because he's got a good spirit. He has a servant's heart. He has a powerful message. And is that all you wanted me to say? I try to keep it all in. But seriously, I was just kidding there. But I mean that with all my heart. He's my favorite preacher. You know, everybody has a favorite preacher. He is my favorite preacher. And when I go and hear his messages, I go other places he hasn't been and preach those same messages. I've done that all over. I haven't even given him credit for them. I heard a guy the other day say, "Boy, I heard Brother Angel preach a message like that." I said, "Yeah, he sometimes is with me preaching and gets my messages, and he'll do that." But I love Brother Angel and his family. They're a blessing to my heart. And I'll tell you, especially Ben. I really, really appreciate Ben. And what a blessing he's been in my heart, to my heart. And then my boys, a couple of my boys went to school with Ben. And what a great blessing for them to be around and to have been around Ben. And of course, Ashley, I've known her since she was young. And then Caleb and Emily being here, I've known Emily since she was little. And I just thank the Lord for the good folks of this church. And if you don't mind tonight, I just want to feel at home. If that's all right with you, I just like to feel at home, because it makes it a lot easier for me. I'm a kind of a nervous guy by nature. And so it helps me when I feel at home. And the way that I feel at home the best is if you smile at me. When you look, give me dirty looks, it scares me. So I do appreciate that. You know, I've had a good time coming up here for the golf outings, and I appreciate all the work that has gone into those to raise money for the ministry, but also provide a great time for the guys getting together to golf. You know, I'm from the south side of Chicago, actually the south suburbs. Some of you may be familiar with the Alsop area, because I know there's a family that comes to church here that drives back and forth all the time. That's where I grew up. In the suburbs there around Alsop, and I have to tell you this story because it comes to my mind since I'm so close to home, only about 35 minutes from here. I am not a great athlete, but I love sports, and I've always been the kind that could, you know, get by. But the first time I ever played golf was only a few minutes from here, and I'll never forget that experience, because I had played baseball and basketball, and I figured when it came to golf that would be a fairly easy thing to take up that sport, because it's just a little ball, and I figure you can hit that thing a long way. And I'll never forget the first time I went out. I had some borrowed clubs, and I was out on the first tee getting ready to tee off, and it was a very busy course. Matter of fact, there were two courses, two 18-hole courses there, one on each side of the highway, and we were teeing off on number one, and right parallel to number one was 18 coming back. So when I teed off on the first tee, there were people on the green on the 18th green right over here. I was hitting the ball this way, and so I never gave any thought to those people. But I've got to tell you something. I noticed the people on the green, because it was the largest woman I had ever seen in my life. Now, I'm not exaggerating when I say that. She was at least 400 pounds. And she was so big, I could not even believe she was out there. I could not even see her swinging a club.
She would get stuck somewhere in the motion. I mean, she was a Bahama mama, a behemoth. I'm being big, horizontally challenged. This was a big lady. Her husband, on the other hand, was a very tall, about 6'5", very big man, but all muscle. I mean, he wasn't, no flab on him at all, and I thought it was kind of an odd couple there. But anyway, they were getting on the green, and I was on the tee, and so I was ready to tee off and getting ready, and I thought, boy, I'm gonna hit this ball a long way. Well, I don't know how this happened, but as I swung to hit the ball this way, the ball, for some reason, went that way. I mean, we're talking about a 90-degree angle. And at the moment that I hit the ball, this large lady had just putted, and she was reaching over to get the ball out of the hole. Well, when she reached down to get the ball, needless to say, she never expected to have a BB golf ball come and hit her in the behind. But that's exactly what it did. When I swung in to hit that ball shot right over. She was reaching down to get the ball. And when she reached down to get the ball hit her in the behind. And she went straight down into the green. Now, because she wasn't expecting it, she didn't have an opportunity to catch herself. And her head went right into the green. Biggest divot I've ever seen on a green. I mean, we're talking a major divot. Well, now honestly, you couldn't help but laugh. I mean, it was just one of those things that I know it was embarrassing and I didn't mean to do it, but when I saw the lady go down and I saw her head hit the green, it just tickled me. I thought it was funny and I wasn't trying to be rude or anything, but when I saw that, I started to laugh. Well, all of a sudden, her husband looked over at me and raised his putter, and I started to walk over there and tell him I was sorry and let her know I was sorry and make sure she was okay. But I could tell by his expression that he really didn't want an apology. He wanted to murder me. Now, this is no exaggeration. He chased me for 4 holes. Here this man was chasing me down the fairway. I still had my driver in my hand, but I certainly wasn't going to look for my ball. And when I got to the 5th green, and there were some bushes there, I stayed in those bushes for about 30 minutes. And by the way, that's the last time I ever golfed there. I never went back. But that's the memory that I have of golfing in this area. And so, like I say, I do my golfing in other places. But I just wanted to share that with you. It has no value. But I do want to share something else. Brother Angel asked me to do this before I preach. And we were preaching together just a couple of weeks ago down in Arkansas. And I came across this. And I'm going to read it to you. This is called The Husband's Store. You know, I've been happily married for 25 out of 29 years. That's not bad. 25 out of 29 years, I've been very happily married. So, matter of fact, I have fulfilled 29 years of a life sentence. Amen. But I have a sweet wife. I tell you, I love my wife, and she is a blessing to my heart. But anyway, I came across this story, and I read it down there in Arkansas, and I'll read it to you. A store that sells husbands has just opened in New York City where a woman may go to choose a husband. Among the instructions at the entrance is a description of how the store operates. You may visit the store only once. There are 6 floors and the attributes of the man increases as the shopper ascends the flights. There is, however, a catch. You may choose any man from a particular floor or you may choose to go up a floor. But you cannot go back down except to exit the building. So a woman goes to the husband's store to find a husband. On the first floor, the sign on the floor reads, Floor 1, these men have jobs and love the Lord. The second floor sign reads, Floor 2, these men have jobs, love the Lord, and love kids. The third floor sign reads, Floor 3. These men have jobs, love the Lord, love kids, and are extremely good looking. Wow, she thinks, but she feels compelled to keep climbing. She goes to the 4th floor and the sign reads, 444. These men have jobs, love the Lord, love kids, are drop dead good looking, and help with the housework. Oh, mercy me, she exclaims, I can hardly stand it. Still, she goes to the 5th floor and the sign says, Floor 5. These men have jobs, love the Lord, love kids, are drop-dead gorgeous, help with the housework, and have a strong romantic streak. She is so tempted to stay on floor 5, but she goes to the 6th and final floor, and the sign reads, Floor 6, you are visitor 4,363,013 to this floor. There are no men on this floor. This floor exists solely as proof that women are impossible to please. Thank you. Thank you for shopping at the husband store. Watch your step as you exit the building and have a great day. So I thought that was pretty good. I want you to turn in your Bibles this evening to the book of Isaiah to start out with. I'll read one verse there in the book of Isaiah. And then I'd like to look at Jeremiah chapter number 18. Isaiah in chapter, matter of fact, let me look. I just had it marked with that joke, and I have to go back to double check what chapter it is. But it's at the end of the chapter. It's chapter 64, Isaiah chapter 64 and verse number 8. Isaiah chapter 64, verse number 8. The Bible says, But now, O Lord, Thou art our Father. We are the clay, and Thou our potter. And we all are the work of Thy hand. Now, if you turn over to Jeremiah 18, most of you know that this is a chapter concerning the potter and the clay. And in verse 1 of chapter 18 of Jeremiah, the Bible says, The Lord, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. You know, ladies and gentlemen, I was reading there in Isaiah, and when I read that verse, it caused me to turn to Jeremiah. And I began to think about the relationship between the potter and the clay. As a matter of fact, Brother Angel was mentioning to me that the first year that we met at youth conference at Windsor Hills, Brother Bishop was there. Has Brother Bishop ever been here? Brother Bishop is a blessing. I've known him now for probably nearly 30 years. I knew him before he was sick. His ministry has just expanded incredibly since he's been sick because of his ministry to hurting people. I mean, there are so many hurting people today. When someone like Brother Bishop speaks, it just, I mean, you talk about someone getting into the heart of a person. Brother Bishop knows how to get into the heart of a hurting person because he's hurt. It's incredible the problems that he has encountered since he's been sick. Not only the meningitis, but all the other physical things that have happened to him because of his illness that have nothing to do with his illness, just his body shutting down and physical problems that have accumulated over the years. And he calls me quite often and tells me he has this problem or that problem. But he's always upbeat, always cheerful, always talking about the goodness of God. Brother Bishop has been there at Triple S Christian Ranch for many years, and one of the highlights of going to camp there is Brother Bishop's class time. Every year, he has a class time in the morning, and he studies all year round for that week or those weeks of meetings that he teaches the class. Actually, it's a 4-day class, Tuesday through Friday. Actually, it's 3 days, Tuesday through Thursday. But it's incredible the things that he has brought to life from the studies that he has made, not only for the young people, but also for those of us adults who have the opportunity to go and be at camp. One year he was with me, and he loves to read, and we went to a bookstore, and he found a book on the potter, the master potter, and the vessels that the potter makes. He gave me a copy of a book, and he told me that it had really challenged his life and that he thought it would be good for me to read. And to be quite honest with you, I never read it until just a few weeks ago. And when I sat down and read that book, preparing for the message that I was going to preach the following Sunday, God showed me so many powerful truths that I don't have time tonight to share those with you, but I would like to share just a few thoughts about the potter and his relationship with the clay. Did you know that the potter, when he goes out to get the clay, he has his own terminology for all the things that he does from the start of just seeking clay and removing the clay from the ground all the way to the finished product of taking the vessel out of the fire and actually displaying that vessel and putting it out on the market to sell or to give away for a specific purpose or use. And it's interesting that even in the potter's terminology, the potter calls finding the clay and extracting the clay out of the ground, he calls that freeing the clay. And did you know that the clay itself has very little value until it gets into the hand of the potter? I don't want to be rude or mean tonight, but I'll tell you this. That clay, the consistency and the components of clay and the components of your body and my body are about the same. We are made up of little more than dirt. That's all we are. 85% water and some other trace minerals that you can find right out of the ground. And to be quite honest with you tonight, outside of God taking us and doing something in our lives, there's very little substance to us and very little value in us. But it's incredible what happens in our life when the potter gets a hold of us. He takes that clay and he frees that clay and he takes that clay home with him and then he begins a process of making that clay into something great and valuable, something usable, something of value. Something that will not only please the potter, but will also help others also. Now I want to tell you something this evening. If there's one truth we need to get a hold of, and that is in ourselves, we are nothing. You know, I know you already know that. I know you agree with that. But you have to be honest with me. One of the biggest battles that you and I face is the battle of having pride in our lives and thinking we're something that we are not. The more potential you have, as far as physically speaking, the more talent you have, the more ability you have, you probably are going to be in danger of not allowing the potter to use you at all. It seems to me that the people that have the most potential end up doing the least for God because they are depending upon their own ability. And those of us, and I include myself at the top of the list, those of us who have very little talent, those of us who have very little ability, those of us who just seem to get by, God can take people like me and use us in extraordinary ways because all we have to do is be available. It's a wonderful thing to be saved tonight because God is the potter. He's the master potter. And all we have to do is make ourselves available to God and He can do incredible things with our lives. Now, you know that old potter, what he would do? He would take that clay and after he would free the clay out of the ground, he would bring it home with him, but he wouldn't put it on the wheel. That clay was not prepared to go on the wheel, oftentimes for up to a year. He would take that clay and he would put it in a special tray or a special box and he would pour water on that clay every day, sometimes for a year. Because without the water purifying the clay and taking the sedimentary rock and other impurities out of the clay, that clay would end up on the wheel and when the potter went to mold it, it would not hold its shape or when he put it in the fire, it would crack and burst and be ruined. Now, you know, that's a great principle for us as Christians because the water represents the Word of God. And when the water of the Word of God saturates our lives, it's amazing how pliable and moldable we become. Did you know the Christian life is so elementary in understanding? The thing that really amazes me is how God can take profound things and make them simple for your and my benefit. because God wants us all to understand it. There isn't a young person in this room that can't understand the principle that the more of the Word of God that you put in your life, the more God can take you and make you what He wants you to be. I mean, it's just a matter of staying in the Word of God. It's a matter of allowing the Word of God to work in your life. Every one of us have hard places. Every one of us have impurities. Every one of us have battles, besetting sins, struggles in areas, battle with our will, battle with yielding to God. Every one of us deal with that. And the one thing that will help us to win the victory is just allowing God's Word to saturate our lives. And yet, I'll tell you what I believe overall in fundamental Christianity today is that we've got people who have been in church for many, many years who have heard all kinds of great preaching and still do not allow the basic truths to be a part of their daily lives. I guarantee there's people right here in this room that you don't read your Bible every single day. I guarantee there's some people in this room that you do not make a prayer and the prayer time or a prayer time an intricate part of your life. And you wonder why you have trouble? You wonder why you have battles? You wonder why you're so prone to temptation? You wonder why you give in so easily to the devil? You wonder why you have these inconsistencies in your life? Did you know the potter could take that clay right out of the ground? He could put some water in it. He could stir it up. He could put it into a lump and put it on the wheel, and he could start turning that wheel and make something out of that clay. But it would never, ever go through the test of fire. Because once it got into the oven, all the impurities and inconsistencies in that clay would cause that clay vessel to explode or crack or be useless. Now, I want to tell you something tonight. I don't think there's ever been a day in the history of America, for sure, that we are under more pressure than today. I believe with all my heart we're in the end times. I believe with all my heart we're close to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know that there have been things that have happened in Israel before. I know that Israel has been in war situations and been surrounded before. And I realize that just because of the problems we're having today is no indication for sure that Jesus is coming. But when you take everything that we know today, when you take all of the Bible prophecies today, when you look at all that the Bible says, I have no doubt in my mind that there are probably young people in this room who will not die a natural death that will be caught up to be with the Lord in the rapture. And it may be me, and I hope it is. But listen to me. As we get closer to the coming of the Lord, the Bible says in the last days there'll be a great falling away. The Bible says in the last days people will be lovers of themselves. People will be lusting after pleasure and lusting after material things. Have you ever seen it more than today? It's amazing. Even we who know the truth and preach and live the truth, we still have a battle with material possessions and a love for this world. 22 years of preaching in the same church has taught me one thing, that even people who have been with me from the beginning, the folks that have started a church with me 22 years ago, even those people are still battling the same things. I just had a family a few weeks ago that left the church over standards. 22 years, and now they leave the church over standards. All I'm saying to you is, you better stay in the Word of God. You better let the Word of God keep your heart soft. You better stay close to the Lord, because if you don't, God will, or I should say Satan will, begin to harden your heart and cause you to begin to make decisions that will take you out of God's will and take you out of God's blessing. Amen. Oh, you know, the potter, he's a wise potter. Because when he takes us, I praise God, when we get saved, it's like a honeymoon time. God takes us and he puts his protective hands around us and he keeps us safe for a while and keeps us away from the wiles of the devil and allows us to grow some. But there comes a time in our life where basically the potter just kind of takes his hands away and he says to us, hey, what are you going to do? And I'll tell you what, personally, I want to get to the place where I can hop up on that potter's wheel and let him make me into something of value. That's what I want to do. But I can never get to that place where God will use me until he puts me in the situation to where the water of God's Word has saturated my life so that I can become what He wants me to be. Now, I think this is a great truth. After He goes through that process, it takes sometimes as much as a year, then He will take the clay and He'll put the clay into lumps. Before He ever puts it on the wheel, He'll put the clay in a lump, and then He'll take those lumps and He'll set those separately aside before He takes each individual lump and puts it on the wheel and begins to spin it and mold a vessel. And this is such an powerful truth. The potter, before he ever even touches the clay, names the clay and decides what it's going to be before he puts it on the wheel. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. The Bible says that before He formed us, He knew us. And not only did He know us, but the Bible says He begins and He finishes a good work in our lives. Every time I see a young person, that's why I love to preach to young people. Every time I see a young person, I see the potential of their lives. Every time I see a young man, I think, man, wouldn't it be great if he surrenders to preach or if he would become a missionary? And I'm not saying to call yourself. I'm not talking about calling yourself. I'm not talking about deciding what you're going to do. It's God's decision. But He puts a burden in our hearts if we allow ourselves to be molded and be available to what His will is for us. He names us before He ever molds us, before He ever makes us into what He wants us to be. He gives us a name and He already has a purpose for our lives. Does that excite you? You know what that says to me? That tells me that as long as I have breath, I have purpose. And I'm going to tell you something that I find true as a pastor all these years. One thing I can say without reservation. I cannot tell you how many people that I have personally dealt with who feel like that their life is a waste and they don't have any purpose. They have no type of self-esteem. And I'm not talking about thinking more highly of yourself than you should. But everybody needs to have some self-esteem because we belong to God. You're never going to amount to anything if you don't think you can do something. And if you understand you can't do anything outside of the power of God, but with the power of God, there isn't anything you can't do. Nothing is too hard for God to do in your life if you will let Him. And the potter takes that clay and he names it and says, this is what I want you to be before he ever puts you on the wheel. Then he takes the clay and he puts it on the wheel. And I'll tell you what, when I read this, I wanted to shout because this is a powerful truth and it's something that we've been preaching for forever. And that is when he takes the clay and he puts it on the wheel, he begins to spin the wheel with the foot pedal and the wheel goes around and around and around. And ladies and gentlemen, the thing that causes that clay to turn into a usable vessel of value is repetition. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Daily prayer, daily Bible reading, soul winning, faithfulness to the things of God. You get tired of hearing it. It's like an old message over and over again. Preacher, when are you going to go to something else? Well, I'll tell you something. There are a lot of things we can preach on, but nothing more important than just doing daily and weekly what you ought to do. The repetition of the wheel causes the form of the clay. And then, when the potter gets his hands on that clay, praise God, what he does is, if he's right-handed, he puts his right hand into the center of the clay. He takes his left hand and he puts it on the outside of the clay. I couldn't believe this when I read it, but it sure makes sense to me, especially from a biblical point of view. The potter never looks at the outside of the clay. He's not interested in the outside form. He looks at the inside and deals with the inside, and he says that as long as the inside is right, the outside will be right every time. Now, I want to tell you something right now. I know what this church stands for. I know what your preacher believes. I know that he is an old-fashioned preacher, and I thank God for that. And I believe with all my heart the standards that were good enough 100 years ago for us to preach are the same standards that we ought to be preaching today. And even though our society has lost all of its values and morals, doesn't mean that we have to go along with it. We need to stay true to the Bible. Amen? The Bible is the source, our source of a conviction and direction in our lives. And that old potter, when he takes that clay, he's not worried about the outside. He's concerned about the inside. If he gets the inside right, he is guaranteed that the outside will be what it ought to be. I think we're missing the boat if we put all the emphasis on the outside Because you know what's going to happen? If you put all the emphasis on the outside, a person who never gets it on the inside is never going to keep it on the outside. They're not going to keep it. You know what? A lady, if she dresses right just because she's told to do it, she'll do it for a while, but she won't continue to do it until it's in here. And then once it's in here, it's never an issue again. I'm telling you, when you get your music right on the inside and you get your convictions right on the inside concerning where you should go and how you should live and what you should do and what you ought not to do, and you get those things right with God on the inside, and God convicts your heart about holiness and separation and godliness and purity, the outside takes care of itself. Boy, I'll tell you what, when I read that, I thought, man, that Potter is an independent fundamental Bible-believing Baptist. Amen? Because it's true. The potter takes the clay and he works on the inside and he keeps his focus on the inside. And when he sees that the inside is exactly what he wants it to be, all he has to do is stop the wheel and step back and look at it. And the vessel has perfect shape and form. But you know what else I like about that? The potter sometimes, when he's bringing the clay up and working the clay up, sometimes it mars, and just like he says right here in Jeremiah chapter 18. Sometimes the clay mars in the master's hand. Sometimes as the potter is taking that clay doesn't come out in the right consistency, or it's uneven, or sometimes there's a hole in it, or there's a weak side to it. And all he does is take it and he puts it down back into a lump, and then he works it up again. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something tonight. God never gives up on you. He never gives up on you. I don't care how many times you and I may let Him down, He never lets us down. You know, sometimes maybe we get out of the will of God. Sometimes plan A doesn't work out because we've let God down and we've forfeited some opportunities because of our self-will and our own decisions that we've made to go our way. But even then, when we come back to the potter, He'll take us and He'll mold us into something usable. Amen. You know, you may be a plan B Christian. You say, what do you mean? I mean, you forfeited plan A. You forfeited God being able to use you to this capacity because of some of the things you've done, or losing your testimony, or making wrong decisions. But I'm thankful that we have a God that says, hey, I can still use you. And by the way, even though the usability may change, His love never changes. His love for us tonight is something that you and I cannot comprehend. Well, this is the best part to me. The potter takes the vessel. He makes it like he wants it to be. It's his choice to make it a bowl or a dish or a plate. It's his choice to make it a pitcher or a glass or a cup. It's up to him what he wants to do. But when he's finished with it, he stops the wheel. And he takes it off the wheel. And because of the fact that it's so soft, he's so careful in the way that he handles it. And he doesn't put it right in the fire. Because if he were to put it right in the fire at that point, because of the moisture inside the clay, when he put it in the fire would dry the moisture out too quickly, and the vessel would crack, and the vessel would be of no value. So he sets the vessel aside, and he allows it just to sit there and rest. They call it resting the vessel. Now, I'll tell you what, you may get mad at me here, but that's okay. I'm only going to be here one service, so you can get mad at me and not like me, and it won't hurt my feelings. But listen to me. We have really missed a very powerful principle from the Scripture in our society today, and that is setting aside a day for the Lord. Did you know in the Old Testament that if you worked on the Sabbath day, you could be stoned and you would be put to death? That's how important that day was. We don't worship on the Sabbath. You understand that. We worship on Sunday because we celebrate the resurrection, not creation. But the truth is, the principle is still the same. I don't condemn our men who work on Sunday. I don't condemn our folks that their job situation causes them to have to work on Sunday. But I tell our young people without reservation, before you ever take a job, you ought to already have a conviction that Sunday is the day for the Lord. Amen. I don't care how much they're going to pay you, and I don't care how good the job is. Sunday is the Lord's day. Set it a time for God, family, and rest, and watch what God will do for you. Amen. And I know that's not popular. And I know people get upset about that. And I have men in our church that work shift jobs and work on Sunday. And I'm not trying to be mean. But just because you have people doing it doesn't mean that you can't preach against it. Because there's a principle there. The potter takes the vessel that he's made, and before he ever puts it in the fire, before he ever does anything in decoration, he sets it aside to rest. And in its resting form, it begins to take the form and keep the form that the master gave it, and then it is prepared for the fire. But without it, you know what they call it? This is interesting. They say that the vessel is stressed. Now, what are we here today? What are we hearing all the time today about people being what? Stressed. Everybody's stressed. Why? I'll tell you why. Because they don't rest enough. I'll tell you why. Because they don't worship enough. I'll tell you why. Because they don't spend enough time with your family. Some people say that's what brings stress. Every time I'm with my wife, we go shopping. It's stress. Well, I don't know about that. But you need to find a de-stressed zone. Amen. You need to go to find a store you can take her where she can't buy anything and you can enjoy yourself. There are ways to do it. But ladies and gentlemen, let me just say this to you. And I'm serious about this. There is a principle of resting. It's not all about money. It's not all about getting ahead. It's not all about having possessions. You know what it's about? It's about pleasing God. It's about taking care of your family. It's about keeping your health. Because with no health, you're very little use to God when you have no health. Amen. What good are you when you're broken down? You take a vessel that's broken and cracked and chipped. That vessel may still have limited usability, but as far as the average person, when you go to get a glass out of your cupboard or out of your cabinet, the fact of the matter is it doesn't have to be fancy, but you like it to be whole. You'd like for it to hold what it's supposed to hold. God would like to put some stuff in you and through you. He'd like to do some things, but He can't use you if you're stressed out. He can't use you if you're a crackpot. Amen. Hey, I'll be honest with you. There's a lot of crackpots. Would you agree? Hey, there's a lot of crackpots in independent Baptist churches. They're cracked. I'll tell you something right now. They're not fun to be around either. They're out chasing rabbits. They're hung up on one thing. They're preaching foolishness. Carrying on. And I'll tell you something. God wants us to be whole. He wants us to have sense. He wants us to have testimony. A testimony where we can influence other people. Amen. Now, let me say this and I'll close. Because this is the best part of all. Somehow the potter takes some of the material that actually goes into making the clay. And he puts it into a solution that is just a little bit thicker than water. He puts the vessel into the fire, but he puts it into two fires. The first fire is a very low heat fire. He'll take that vessel and he'll put it in that low heat fire, and that tempers the clay and makes it where that it is of a single consistency. And you know what? The potter says when he puts it into the fire, he calls the vessel losing its identity. I thought that's kind of interesting. Because you know, the only way God is ever going to use you and me is when we lose our identity. And it's not about us, it's about Him. It's not you or me, it's Jesus in us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And what He does is He takes that pot and He puts it in that fire. And that fire tempers the vessel. But then He takes it out of that fire. And then He takes this solution. It's called the glaze. And He puts the glaze all over the inside and all over the outside of that vessel. Then He takes the vessel along with many others and He puts it into another kiln or into another oven. And that oven is of the highest temperature that He can produce. He puts wood or coal or charcoal or whatever substance He can do to make a very hot fire. And then He actually closes the door and puts those vessels in there for a long period of time. And then the glaze that He actually puts on the inside and the outside of the vessel
causes the specific identity of the vessel. Whatever components are in that clay that may be different than other clay, or maybe there are some features in one clay that's not in another clay. But when that glaze is placed on that vessel, then when that vessel comes out of the fire, even though all the vessels were made of clay, and even though they were all glazed with the same substance, when the fire's over and the potter takes those vessels out of the clay or out of the kiln, every single vessel has a different color, and every single vessel has a different beauty. And you know, I thought when I read that, I thought that's exactly like our God, our Father, our Savior, in that when God puts us through the fire, none of us like the fire, none of us like temptation, none of us like trials, none of us like adversity, none of us like battles. But you know what God said? God said that with all of the burdens and battles and struggles that we go through, He will apply a glaze on our lives, and it's called grace. And He'll take that grace and He'll place it on our life and He'll put us in the fire, and the fire causes us to become stronger. It causes us to be mature and it causes us to be complete. So when we come out of the fire, not only can we hold the things that God wants to put in us, like His filling, and not only can He put in us things for usefulness and purpose, but there is a beauty in each one of us that is distinctive. There is something in each one of us that you can say, look at that person. This is the grace of God on his life. This is the grace of God on her life. Listen, I guarantee you that if I had church members here tonight stand up and say, I want you to give a testimony about somebody else in the church. I want you to look around and somebody who's been a blessing to you, somebody who has been an encouragement to you, somebody that's helped you in your life. Many of you could say, hey, brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so, this one and that one. And you would stand up and say, this is the quality in their life that means so much to me. This is what impresses me. This is what has impacted my life. This is what has been a blessing to me. And did you know? It would all be different things. Same stuff. We're all made out of the same stuff. We're all saved by the same grace of God. We all are called by God to do something, but somehow He takes every single one of us and gives us distinct personality. He gives us distinct usefulness. He gives us distinct purpose. And in doing all of that, He makes us beautiful in our own way. You know, I can look at Brother Angel and I can say, when I think of Terry Angel, this is what comes to my mind. And I can honestly say tonight, lots of good things come to my mind. When I mention somebody like Brother Bishop, I can say, Brother Bishop, boy, when I think of him, this is what comes to my mind. But it's not the same thing with Brother Bishop that it is with Brother Angel. I can think of other men that Brother Angel and I both know. Men of God. Men that are godly. When I think of Brother Vineyard, I think of blowing something up, killing something, something like that. You know. But did you know that God has a purpose for Brother Vineyard? And God has used Brother Vineyard in some unique ways that He wouldn't use other men. Here's what I'm saying tonight. We're all made of the same stuff. But put our lives in the hand of the potter and let Him mold us and make us into what He wants us to be. And then let Him put us in the fire, even though we don't like it. We need it. Because in the fire, He's going to put something in and on our lives called the grace of God. And when that grace is applied, like a glaze of beauty in our lives, the fire causes that grace to cause us to come out and have great beauty and great value. I'm going to tell you something. The last thing the potter does when he takes the vessels out of the fire, before he sells them or puts them on display, he calls it celebrating the vessel. And what he does is he takes all the vessels, sometimes as many as 100, out of the kiln, and he lines them up. And all the people from town will come to see the vessels and to celebrate and to do one thing, to applaud the potter. Yeah. To applaud and appreciate and admire, listen to me, not the work, but the one who made the work. I don't know about you, man. That excites me. You know, isn't it something that I personally can do something with my life that's going to bring honor and glory to God? Not to me. It isn't about me. It isn't about you tonight. It's about Him. It's all about Him tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, you and I have the opportunity to go through the fire, to go through adversity, to endure temptation, to battle sickness, to go through struggles and all of that for one purpose, to let the grace of God shine and coat our lives in such a way that we can come out and be usable for God and bring Him glory.
Amen.
Did you know that's why you're here? Did you know you're here tonight for one purpose, and that is to glorify God? And you know, we all do it different ways. Some people glorify God in their singing. Man, when they get up to sing, it glorifies God. Some of you, if you get up here, it doesn't glorify anybody. It's not a blessing. And you know who you are. But there are some people that get up here, and when they sing, it's like a heaven opened. I mean, it's like the glory of God comes down just when they sing or play an instrument. Some people can get up to preach like your pastor, and he gets up and preaches. And when he gets done, man, when Brother Angel gets done preaching, many times I've sat there in the service and I've just thought and marveled in my mind, what a wonderful God we have. That's what you and I are here for. To glorify Him. To celebrate the potter. Now let me ask you something. What kind of pot are you tonight? What kind of vessel are you tonight? I pray you're not a crackpot. Hey, I pray you're not the kind that cracks easily under pressure. I pray that you're the kind that doesn't go through the fire and say, "Too hot, too hot!" Because you understand that the fire is necessary to make you into something that has value. I hope you're not the kind of clay that says, "I'm not ready for that wheel. I'm not ready for you to form me." Or that kind of clay that has impurity inside and says, "Use me like I am. I'm not changing." Oh, let me tell you, that kind of clay is no value. But when you tonight and I tonight will yield ourselves, give ourselves to God, let Him take us, make us what He wants us to be, put us through the fire, add the glaze of grace, and let the fire do its work, and come out and say, "Look what God has done." That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about the potter and what He can do with us if we let Him. Amen? Amen. Now, what about you tonight? Is that what you want? You want God to use you? You want to glorify God with your life and your body and be a blessing to others? Do you want to be able to go through the pressures of life and not crack, not give up, not give in, not give in to temptation, not throw in the towel when troubles come? Let me tell you, I've got a lot of areas in my life that need work. I've got a lot of areas in my life that need help. But I'll tell you one thing. I'm going to let God do whatever He wants to do with me. And by the grace of God, I want Him to make me better. I want the fire to come into my life if that's what I need so that I can be used. You say, "Well, Brother Dawson, you know, there's a lot of preachers better than you." I'm not in a competition. I'm in no competition. I'm just me. Did you ever hear that little song, "I'm a little teacup" or something like that? I don't know the words of that one. But I'll tell you what, you're just an individual that's different than everybody else, that God can use in a distinct way. And He can use you to do things that others can't do. He can use you to reach people that others can't reach. It's just a matter of you letting God do what He wants to do. Would you do that tonight? Man, let the potter have his way in your life. Don't argue with him. Don't be bitter toward him because things happened in your life. Man, just trust Him, yield to Him, and watch what He can do for you. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your Word. I thank You for the truth of it. Oh Lord, there's so many illustrations in the Bible just to help us understand. So many times that You, even with Your prophets, brought them somewhere and showed them something so that they could have a better understanding of You and what You want to do. And oh Lord, even tonight, we can look at these simple biblical illustrations and see, Lord, how that You use physical principles to teach spiritual truths. And Lord, as I've studied the potter and I look at these truths, it just causes me to pray. praise You and glorify You tonight, how that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and how that You have purpose and plan for all of our lives, every young person in this room, every adult in this room. I'm glad, dear God, that when we are marred, we can be made another vessel, we can be made anew, and we can be valuable to You. Oh God, I pray that that would be the heart's desire of every person in this room. And I pray, Lord, when the fire comes in our lives, that we understand this is good for us, this is what we need, this is the work of the potter, and He has a good plan for our lives. Father, may we believe that, because if we don't, the devil will get us. We'll become bitter in our hearts, and Lord, we will become resistant in our souls toward the work of God. Help us, I pray, to trust You tonight. Help us, Lord, to just yield ourselves afresh and anew to Your will. Bless these good people here. Bless this church. Use it in a mighty way. Thank You for this testimony, Lord. And I just pray that every person in this room, there might be somebody in here not saved. They've never been freed by the potter. Oh, tonight, Lord, You would free them from sin and the curse of sin and the bondage of sin tonight if they are not saved. And certainly those of us who are saved, Father, we're in the process of being made into a vessel of honor. Help us to allow You to do that work and to continue that process, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together with our heads bowed, eyes closed tonight. I know it's Wednesday night, and I realize that you folks are the faithful folks of the church, but I've learned a long time ago as a preacher, I need preaching just as much as anybody else needs it. And sometimes, boy, my heart will get hard, or sometimes I'll get worn out, or sometimes I'll get my eyes off the Lord, and I just need to get refocused. And tonight I challenge you. We'll have a verse of invitation. If you're not saved, you can come, and we'll take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure you're going to heaven. If you are saved tonight and you know the Lord, maybe you're out of the will of God. Maybe you've been resistant to the Lord. Maybe you're bitter toward Him because things have happened in your life you don't understand. Maybe tonight you have not gone through the fire with the right spirit, not realizing what God wants to do ultimately in your life. Maybe you just need to yield to Him tonight. Maybe you just need to get that stuff out of your life, those impurities out of your life that are keeping you from being what God wants you to be. When the instruments begin to play, if God spoke into your heart, would you just step out tonight, use this old altar, come to God and say, "Dear God, I want to be a vessel of honor. I want to be a piece of clay that You can mold and make me into whatever You want me to be." Would you come tonight? Right now, when the instrument begins to play, if you need to come, would you step out tonight? Would you come? God's moving in your heart. Would you come?
Service time, invitation time. God speaks to your heart. You acknowledge that by coming and speaking to God this old altar. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after Thy will. While I am waiting, yield and stand. Would you come? What a tremendous message. Thank you.
Brother Dawson ended the message there about Ephesians chapter 2, and I found it. Let me read it to you. It talks about what we were before we got saved. And it says in verse 4, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us, saved us, together with Christ, by grace you are saved." Now watch this. "And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Why? "That in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace." You know, that's what's going to happen someday in heaven. You know, heaven's not about me and heaven's not about you. You know who heaven's about? You know what heaven's about? Heaven's about the grace of God. And through the ages to come, God will show off the wonders of His grace that saved us, changed us, molded us, made us into something that could bring Him honor and glory. What a great message tonight. Man, what an encouraging message tonight. What a great help to the people of this church. Thank you, Brother Dawson. We have some being dealt with. We'll let them be dealt with down here about the matter of salvation even. That's tremendous. Appreciate you letting the Lord use you. Amen. God bless you. Now you see why I like Rick Dawson. Amen. Fine preacher. Very good.